Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Here is a question for you and for me. Are you fully assured of going to heaven? We must be fully assured, completely assured, totally assured. The Bible teaches that we can be assured of our relationship with God, that we can be assured of whether or not we are going to heaven when we die. Hebrews 6:11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Notice the phrase used by the writer, "the full assurance of hope unto the end." As we grow closer to the end, as we become older and older, we are to have the full assurance of hope. We are to show diligence in the full assurance of hope. If we go to heaven, we must strive to go to heaven. We must desire to go to heaven. Heaven must be that which consumes us. It must be the full desire of our heart. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The writer uses the expression "in full assurance of faith." In these two passages of Scripture, we have full confidence in whether or not we are going to heaven. We have the full assurance of hope. We have the full assurance of faith. We must be certain of where our destiny is going to be when we leave this life. The Bible teaches that there are two eternal destinies. At Matthew 25:46, in the words of Jesus, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." As Jesus has judged the world, all of mankind, some are sent into everlasting punishment, some are sent into eternal life. The wicked will go into everlasting punishment. The righteous will go into life eternal. These are the only two destinies, eternal life or eternal punishment. John 5:28-29, Jesus, in speaking to a multitude, said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Jesus assures us that there will be an hour in which all that are in the graves, all of the dead, shall come forth. They shall hear his voice just as Lazarus heard his voice and came forth from the tomb of death. So all of humanity will come forth from the grave. And as they come forth, some will come to the resurrection of life, and some will come unto the resurrection of damnation. As Jesus speaks these words, he describes the two classes of humanity, those that have done good and those that have done evil. We either do good as we live this life, or we do evil as we live this life. Those that do good will come forth unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. These are the only two destinies that God has for humanity. Are we fully assured of our destiny? Do we know which destiny will be ours when we have left the walks of men, when we have been raised from the dead, and stand before God in the great judgment? The Bible teaches that some will be surprised. Some will not go where they believe that they are going. Some will not have what they believe that they have. There will be those, perhaps, that believe that they are going to heaven, and yet will not go to heaven. There are some that believe that perhaps they may go to hell, and yet they will not go to hell. There will be surprises at the judgment of God. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, as Jesus preached this great sermon to the multitude, he says to them, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus says that not everyone that simply says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but rather those who go to heaven, in the words of Jesus, are those that do the will of the Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father in heaven has been revealed to us in the pages of the Bible. God has recorded in a book called the Bible what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live, what He wants us to be, so that we can go to heaven. But there will be those at the judgment that Jesus says will be surprised at the verdict that has been rendered. Many will say, "Lord, Lord, can we call Jesus Lord and refuse to do His will?" We can. We can be mistaken. We can be misguided. We can be misinformed. Jesus says not everyone that simply says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but rather our life must be controlled and governed by the will of God. Many will say, "We have prophesied in thy name, we have preached in thy name," and yet they had not done the will of God. Some can preach that which is false, and some can follow that which is false. Some will say, "We have in thy name cast out devils," but yet in thy name they had not done the casting out of devils. And some will say, "Well, we have done many wonderful works." Are there not many today that do many wonderful works? Are there not organizations of humanity that perform many wonderful works to benefit mankind? There are those who have hearts of sympathy, live lives of compassion, and yet that compassion and that sympathy and that comfort that is rendered to humanity might not be according to the will of the Father. Jesus said we must do the will of the Father to go to heaven. Let us not be surprised on the day of judgment. Let us be fully assured of whether or not we are going to heaven. Let us live with the full assurance of hope, the full assurance of faith. Let us seek to do the will of God in our life. We must make certain of our eternal destiny before we leave the walks of life. At 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, the apostle said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Peter has given in the earlier verses certain virtues of life, certain divine graces that God wants us to develop and perfect in our life as we live. And after defining these graces and showing us what we should be as the elect of God, he says that we should give diligence to perfect those graces in our life. Going to heaven requires diligence. It requires concentration. Going to heaven demands devotion to God and to the life that God wants us to live. We must give diligence to make our calling and election sure. And Jesus said that if we perfect these graces in our life, if we follow this divine pattern of life that God has given to us, then we shall not fall. At 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, we have recorded the words of a man who had given himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had committed his life to the preaching of the gospel. He had traveled to many, many places proclaiming the good news of salvation. This man was persecuted for his efforts. He was imprisoned for his devotion. He suffered because of the life that he had chosen to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was named Paul. Paul had been converted on the road to Damascus, where he had encountered the Lord. We must be converted in our life. We must encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the apostle has come to the end of life. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, he writes, "With this great confidence that you and I must have, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul was going to be killed by the Roman Caesars because of his devotion to God, because of his imprisonment, because of their hatred of Christianity. He says, "The time of my departure is near. The time of my death is near." All of us will grow near the time of death. Some of us will be aware that death is coming, and yet there will be many, many others who will be surprised at the coming of death. They will not be ready for death. They will not know that death is coming. An individual can have a fatal disease and know that eventually that disease is going to take his or her life. But yet there are accidents and there are misfortunes that befall us that bring about the end of life. Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." All of us will depart life. The time of departure will come for all of us. But we must be ready, prepared, devoted at every moment that we live. We cannot wait and postpone our relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no better time to obey the gospel of Christ and become a Christian than at this very moment. There is no better time to devote your life to the Lord Jesus Christ than at this very moment, so that when the time of departure comes, you are ready. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul has the full assurance of hope. He possesses the full assurance of faith. He is certain that his calling and election is sure. He has given great diligence in his life since his conversion to Jesus Christ and his obedience to the gospel, to the security of heaven. We must have the security of eternal life. We must not lose our soul. We must not be cast into the fires of hell. We must be resurrected unto eternal life on that great day when our body comes forth from the grave. We must be in Christ, reconciled unto God in Christ. At 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul, the evangelist of Christ, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Corinth, and says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." There is within the pages of Scripture the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation is reunion with God. Man has been separated from God because of sin, transgression, iniquity, evil doing, laziness, failure to comply with the will of God. God has sought reconciliation for humanity. God's desire is that humanity, you and I, be reconciled unto God. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. The past life is gone when one is in Christ. One is reconciled unto God in Christ. Rather than the enemy of God, he has become the friend of God. Rather than being separated from God, he is now in fellowship with God. All things are of God. The whole plan of salvation is the work of God. We must comply with the work of God. We must be reconciled unto God in the terms that God has set forth, in the manner that is described in the pages of Scripture. There is the way defined by which you and I come into Christ and are reconciled unto God. We must follow that divine pattern. We can follow no other pattern. We can believe no other doctrine. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is the will of the Father in heaven? How do we get into Christ Jesus? How are we reconciled unto God the Father? What does the word of reconciliation teach us about being reconciled unto God so that we can be fully assured that we are going to heaven? Let me describe for you the word of reconciliation. Let me inform you from the pages of Scripture how you and I are reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ. Listen while I tell you how you and I get into Christ Jesus so that we can have the full assurance of hope, the full assurance of faith. The Bible teaches that I must believe on Christ. In John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus said you must believe that I am he, that he is the Son of God. Jesus taught that he was the Son of God or the Son of Man. Jesus came into the world as the Son of God. God had identified him at his baptism as his beloved Son. In Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 17, at what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was identified by God the Father as his beloved Son. Jesus said, "This is what you must believe. You must believe that I am the one who has been sent into the world to redeem humanity from sin. You must believe that through me there is salvation from sin. There is the hope of eternal life. Unless you believe that, you will die in your sins." We must believe on Christ. The Bible teaches, the words of Jesus himself tell us that we must believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the approved one of God, who was sent into the world to save us. Unless you believe that, Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. In John 20, 30, and 31, John explains why he has written his gospel. When you read the gospel of Jesus Christ, you read about the life of Christ. You read about the teachings of Christ. You read the miracles of Christ. John has given us information so that we can know who Jesus is and that his claim of being sent from God and coming into the world to save man is indeed true and valid. John 20, 30, 31, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye might have life through his name." John, at the very conclusion of his gospel, explains the purpose of writing the gospel. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. and what you will accomplish by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is that you will have life through His name. Eternal life is through the name of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is by the authority of Jesus Christ. We only can have eternal life by believing that Jesus is the Christ. But we must also repent of sins. Repentance is a change of life brought about by a conviction of heart. Because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is the conviction of our heart, we will change the way we live. We will change our life. Some of us may believe that we don't really do anything that is in violation of the will of God. But the Bible teaches that we have all sinned. We are all guilty of transgression. In some way, in some deed, in some word, in some attitude, we have transgressed the will of God, and therefore we need to repent. We need to change. We need to turn. Jesus in Luke 13, 3 and 5 said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Either repent or perish. If we repent, then we can be saved. If we do not repent, then we will perish. In Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter is preaching what is recorded as the second gospel sermon. The first sermon was preached in Acts chapter 2 at Jerusalem. Peter is still in Jerusalem. He has come again into the temple. And he's speaking to this multitude in Acts 3:19, and he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Conversion involves repentance. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." Change your life, change your attitude, change your mind, change the direction in which you are walking. Turn around and go the other way. That's actually what repentance means. We come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the purity of Christ. We listen to the doctrine of Christ. And we change the way we're going to live. We are converted. We repent and we are converted. We change the way we live. We change the devotion of our heart. We decide what is most important to us. And of course, going to heaven should be that which is most important to you and to me. And so we must believe on Christ, and we must repent of sins. And then we must confess Christ as the Son of God. We are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when we read the Gospels, when we read the Bible, when we listen to true, real Bible preaching, we will come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John said the purpose of his gospel was, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now we must confess that. We must say with our mouth that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, "If you confess me, then I will confess you." You confess me before men. You are willing and eager to tell men that you believe that I am the Christ. And then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. We have an example of that confession in the Bible so that we know what that confession is and what is to be said. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, the Bible is very clear and very simple. When we read the Bible, we can come to know how we get into Christ, how we are reconciled unto God. And so we have seen thus far that we must believe on Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. We must repent of our sin, and then we must confess Christ as the Son of God. Following that confession, we must be baptized into Christ. Baptism is debated among religious groups, and almost all people, all religions, have a different view of baptism. But the Bible is very clear about baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, the like figure, he's talked about Noah and the ark, and how Noah in the ark was saved by the water. The water lifted that ark, and as it destroyed the world, as everything that had breath died in the flood, Moses and his family were saved. And so Peter says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter said, baptism doth also now save us. We are baptized. We are buried with Christ in baptism. We are immersed or buried in water. Baptism is not a pouring, it's not a sprinkling, it is a burial in the pages of Scripture. In Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus, who had blasphemed Christ, who had persecuted Christians, who had been involved in the death of Christians and committing them to prison, was told by the preacher, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This passage of Scripture says that we do two things in baptism. We wash away our sins and we call on the name of the Lord. So baptism doth also now save us. When are we saved? When our sins are washed away. When we have called on the name of the Lord. Our sins are washed away when we are baptized. We call on the name of the Lord when we are baptized. And so baptism doth also now save us. And finally, we must live faithfully unto death. We must live a life that is devoted to Christ. From the time we are baptized until the time we die, we are to live in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to follow the commandments that He has given. We are not to fall away from the faith. We are not to abandon the faith. We are to embrace the faith. In Revelation 2:10, this scripture is written, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We must not leave what we believe. We must not forsake what we have confessed. We must not deny the Christ that we have put on in baptism. We must live a faithful, godly, devoted life. In this manner, we can have the full assurance of hope. We can have the full assurance of faith. We can live each day of our life being fully assured that we are going to heaven. Are you fully assured that you're going to heaven? If the time of your departure comes at this moment, are you assured that when you stand before God in the judgment, you will hear Him say, enter thou in to the kingdom of the Lord, thou faithful servant. We are to be in Christ. We're to be reconciled unto God in Christ. And the steps that we must take to perform that reconciliation and that entrance into the Lord Jesus Christ are believe on Christ, repent of sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, be baptized, and live faithfully unto death. It's very comforting to live life with all of its uncertainty, knowing not what any day may bring forth, that we are fully assured that when we have departed this life, we are going to heaven. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.